I've had many conversations in the last few weeks that have inspired my message today, inspired me to go this way. It's partially inspired, or I should say provoked, by a message that I received on July 4th that somebody sent me about a pastor here in town, a friend of mine, that was approached by a young lady after his services last week, informing him that she was non-binary and she felt like that his entire sermon was directed at her and that she preferred to be addressed as them and they and not her and she. She told the pastor she wanted to be addressed as them and they, not her and she. And so I couldn't leave it alone, and so I put a Facebook post up. And I said, and I basically said, if anyone ever tells me that they want to be referred to as they or them, then I'm just going to cast them out. Meaning the demons that inspired them to want to be referred to as them and they, because you got to have a demonic mindset to want to believe that kind of thing in your life. But that's where our culture is. But then after I did that, I was hit with a wave of sadness and compassion for not just that lady, but so many, so confused and lost and messed up because they don't know who they are. So that's what the message is about today. Turn to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. And verse 13. Acts 19, the clock is beginning, verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Keep your finger there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." The title of this message today is, "Who Am I?" Father, I pray that you give such a revelation today of who we are in you, God, that it just changes us forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Could you take my fader down just a tad, brother? We are in the midst of a culture that is having a massive identity crisis. In spite of all the emphasis in education on self-esteem, 80% of first graders enter elementary school with a positive self-esteem or positive view of themselves, but only 5% of high school graduates still have a positive view of themselves when they graduate. It's because we're trying to educate it into them, and that's not how it gets there. Everybody's trying to redefine what God has already very clearly defined. I got news for you. Men have an XY chromosome. Women have an XX chromosome. And when you die, if somebody digs you up in 200 years, they can definitively tell you if you're a woman or a man, no matter how many surgeries you've had or no matter how many hormones you've taken. It's set in stone. Our culture has become more narcissistic, more self-absorbed, more self-centered, and yet more unhappy than any culture in history. Why is that? Because it is asking the wrong questions and listening to the wrong questions. The first temptation to man in the garden was not to eat the fruit. The first temptation in the garden was a questioning, has God said? That's the first thing Satan said to Eve before he tried to get her to eat the fruit. He said, has God said? The enemy's goal is to destroy your identity so he can destroy your connection with God and therefore render you hopeless and purposeless. He's doing a pretty good job in our culture. Identity is a theological thread that runs from Genesis all the way up through maps, through every book of the Bible. And in a nutshell, you were created in the image of God, for God, and for His purposes. If you don't know who you are, or you forget who you are, you'll get weird and do stupid, evil things. You will. Evil only appeals to people who don't know or who forget who they are. The only way for someone to really know who they are is for them to first be born again by the Spirit of God and then have it revealed to them by the Word and by the Spirit. It takes God to reveal who God is and who you are. Pascal, the French philosopher, said, not only do we not only know God through Jesus Christ, but we only know ourselves through Jesus Christ. Apart from Christ, we cannot know. I know that you're totally aware there's actors and billionaires and local successful people you probably know that all seem like they've got their act all together. But they don't know who they are at all if they're not born again. They can't. And we see it play out publicly when their lives fall apart from time to time, right? But I promise you that billionaire has those quiet moments, if he doesn't know Christ, has those moments of, why am I here? What is my purpose? Because everybody has that. If they don't know their purpose, and if they don't know who they are. Billy Graham's team was going into a town one time to hold a crusade, and they were down on the street somewhere, and there was a little boy wandering around lost. He had gotten lost. And so they started quizzing him and asking him, you know, where he lived and trying to get information out of him. He didn't know his phone number. He didn't know his address. They couldn't tell them anything that would help them get him home. But in that town, there was this huge church that had a really tall cross, and the cross stuck up above all the other buildings. And the boy looked up and saw the cross. He said, oh, if you can get me to the cross, I'll be able to find my way home. That's where people need to get first if they're going to find their way home. Amen? So I'm probably going to do 3 sermons on this, maybe more. I'm just going to ask you 4 questions today. This is going to probe a little. And the first question is this: what are you? 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who is born again is, not will be, is a new creation. Something that has never existed before. Think about that. That's deep. You are a tripart being. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. I was talking to my son on the phone the other day. He instead of live in a body, he said meat sack. I had to get him to repeat it about 3 times because I didn't understand what he's talking about, but I guess that's true. We have a physical body that houses our soul and our spirit. Most people only live from their soul and their body, even Christians. So who you are is in your spirit. That's who you are. That's what's new. That's what's born again. It's true, you have been saved, and your spirit is perfect. It contains the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of Christ that he may instruct him? Look, but we have, not will have, not can have, but we have, right now, present tense, the mind of Christ. I know. You say, you got the mind of Christ? I have it in my spirit. That means everything that Christ knows, I can know. Because the mind of Christ is in me, in my spirit man. You are being saved, that is your soul, mind, your will, your emotions, your feelings. They're being transformed as you receive and believe revelation from the Word and the Holy Spirit in your spirit. To the degree that we live only by our 5 senses, the Bible says we are carnal or natural men. So you can be born again, but continue to live carnally. You can. I didn't believe that for a long time, but I've been a pastor a while. I know it's true. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? You don't need to behave like a mere man. You're not just a mere man. You're way more than that. The more you walk by faith and not by sight, the more you receive revelation of your identity in Christ and then experience transformation of your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. Romans 12:2, that we read a lot, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorphosized by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is in the Holy Spirit that's in your spirit. It's in your spirit already, but you have to prove it by believing it and as it works out through your mind and your will and your emotions and your feelings. You still with me? You will one day be completely saved when you receive your glorified body. You are saved right now because you got born again in your spirit. The rest of you is being saved, and your body is going to be saved when it gets a glorified body. I love C.S. Lewis, and I love this quote. He said, "The real Son of God is at your side. He is beginning to turn you into the same sort of thing as himself. He is beginning to inject his kind of life and thought into you. He's beginning to turn the tin soldier into the live man. The part of you that doesn't like it is the part that's still tin." I would just modify that slightly and say the real Son of God isn't just at your side. He's in you. He's in your spirit. He's there. He's not just walking up and down these aisles. He's there inside of you if you're born again. He's not there if you're not. But he is if you're born again. Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you're born again? If you don't know that you know that you know, you better get to where you know. Secondly, who do you think you are? Your spirit is sanctified and complete right now. The only thing that's hindering the rest of you is your unrenewed mind. Your stinking thinking is hindering your abundant living. It really is. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You will never rise above your view of who you are. You will either live up to or down to whoever you think you are. Everything within you screams of your uniqueness, that God made you for a purpose and that God made you on purpose, and you really are special. It's not the old you, the Adamic nature that's special, but it's your new nature that was designed with a distinct purpose by God. Cows moo, dogs bark, birds fly, fish swim. Their identity determines their purpose. Whatever your identity is, that will tell you what your purpose is. Don't let the world, don't let culture, don't let your family, don't let your friends or anybody else define who you are. That's why we have to be careful with our associations. 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Proverbs 13:20, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." Who you're hanging with does influence how you think about who you are. It impacts it. It affects it. You have to deal with your stinking thinking from five directions. These will be quick. Number one, hurt, pain, trauma, rejection. Studies have shown that the younger you were when you first experienced rejection, the greater impact it has on your whole life. They cursed you, said, "You're a failure. You don't measure up. You'll never measure up." They picked you last for the kickball team. All kinds of things. But when you know who you are, you can reverse the curse. Secondly, others' opinions. People rise and fall on people's opinions of them. Some people, the only thing they care about is how many likes they get on Facebook. Now, I'm on Facebook a good bit, but I don't care if you don't like me on Facebook. It really doesn't bother me. Yes, you see. There's a lot of people who don't like me at all on there. That's all right. How you feel about yourself is largely determined by what the people whose opinions matter most think about you. It does. You can try to say it doesn't matter, but it does matter. But you know what? It doesn't matter to me, all those people out there on Facebook that I don't know that don't like me. That doesn't bother me at all. But it does bother me if my wife doesn't think well of me. It bothers me if you don't think well of me. It bothers me if people I love don't think well of me. It does have an impact on how I think about myself. But I want you to know that because that's true, make Jesus Christ the most important person in your life, because what he thinks about you is the most important. You are not what your parents or others have tried to make you. You are not what your abusers or haters say about you. You are not even what you call yourself in self-condemnation. You're not certainly what Satan accuses you of. You ever get ready to do something and Satan whispers to you, "Well, who do you think you are? Or you're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not spiritual enough." On and on. You're either not enough or you're too much. You'll never get it right when you listen to that. And you know what I've learned as I've discovered who I am? I basically, when that junk comes my way, I can just say, "Well, that's true. But I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, and greater is he that's in me than you. So move aside, I got stuff to do." It doesn't bother me at all anymore if those thoughts hit me. In fact, it used to really bother me if I would get tempted to like really bad sin, especially sin that I used to be into. There came a day that I just thought to myself, "Well, that's just like me. Just like my flesh. Of course my flesh would want to do that. But I'm not that man anymore. And I don't have to go that way." I can tell everyone's deeply meditating on this message. The third thing is media influences. It's all around us, right? You should do this, you should do that, you should be this, you should be that. You should vote for this person, vote for that person. This is what matters. This is what doesn't matter. This is what you are, even if it's a lie. Right? It tries to influence who you are. Then fourthly, thoughts in your mind. Some of those thoughts come from you. Some of them come from the devil. You ever been up all night tossing and turning, fretting about something, thinking about something, that sort of thing, and you just couldn't sleep because it was just going on so much? Well, I know you have, because I have. Well, now we know you can meditate, right? So now you just need to change what it is you're meditating on. And fifthly, the lies you tell yourself because of your feelings. Feelings are terrible truth tellers. We live in a culture, though, that lets shifting feelings define truth. There's your truth, there's my truth, there's his truth, there's her truth. There's some truth everywhere, some little truth. Here's some truth, there's some truth everywhere, truth, truth. But there is one absolute truth that never, ever, ever will change. And it's in here, and it's who you are according to this. We'll get to that later. Homosexuals often will say to me, "I've got to be who I am. I struggled for so long trying to deny it, and I just couldn't deny it anymore, so I finally just decided I'm just going to give in to it so I can finally be free and happy." I understand that. I really do. The problem is they're still not free and happy. Because what they're doing is they're mistaking their struggle for their identity. Never mistake your struggle for your identity. Whatever you struggle with, that doesn't mean that's who you are. But the devil tells you it is. Wonder if I'll get emails there. Thirdly, do you know who you are? Most people live lives with a good deal of insecurity about who they are. Acts 19 that we read, just read a couple of verses again in Acts 19, 15. The evil spirit answered and said, Sceva's boys, and the evil spirit answers and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Who are you? Listen, if you don't know who you are, the devil won't know whose you are. This is why so many Christians are getting the stuffing beat out of them by the devil. Because they don't know who they are. And the devil doesn't care if you're ignorant. Living the Christian life is not hard. It's completely impossible without Jesus and being vitally connected to Him and knowing who you are. And it works in direct proportion to you knowing who you are in Him and then letting Him live His life through you. You've got to know who you are in Him. And that's a process that we're all going through. Do you know how we have three identities? The first one is the short-term identity. That's what you get from your family being raised, your psychological identity, how you were raised. You're white because your parents were white. You're black because your parents were black. You're mixed because your parents were mixed. Those things are not changeable. If you have a big nose, that came from your great-grandma or somebody, and that's how you got it. If you put on fat in certain places, I found out I put on fat through my mouth. That's how I do it. But did you know that wives who put on extra pounds live longer than the husbands who mention it? I got that in there. That was free. Growing up is one of the reasons what you got in that identity time is that's why you either feel ugly or beautiful or sometimes you have strongholds like poverty or drunkenness or any other of the thousands of strongholds that people have in their life. If you grew up in a good family in Christ, you got some really good things from that, but it doesn't mean you got everything right. And the second identity is long-term identity in Adam. If you trace your roots back far enough, you came from a drunken sailor. His name was Noah. And then, if you trace that back further, you go all the way back to Adam. Did you know we could fix all race issues in a millisecond? If everyone would understand that we're all one race, we're all the human race, and we're all descended from Adam, your lineage in him has caused every problem in the human race. Because of your lineage, you can't do right, you can't live right, and you can't be right. Your old man is corrupt and broken and irreparable, but we keep trying to fix him up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. That spirit man was created, not being created, was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That spirit man that's been recreated in you is righteous and holy. I know this is going to mess with your religion some. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him.